This is the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRMP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, John and Lance. And this is the time of the show where we bring in the head coach of the Houston Cougars, Dana Holgorsen, right here on ESPN 97.5. I got a text from him last night, too. He said, it's still a great season. One of the greatest teams in Major League Baseball history. And one of the greatest postseasons ever.
I got texts throughout the game from Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Colts, who grew up here in his lifelong
Astros probably
fan.
Didn't say the
his
same
thing.
His
wasn't the same thing. No. He was super pissed off about the pitching. And then this morning, he was pissed off about the hitting.
What were you pissed off about last night, Dana?
Well,
hitting or pitching?
Well, yeah, just leaving guys on base more than anything, right? I mean, they had guys in scoring position and just didn't knock them in, man. I will say this: it's Game 7 World Series. Just one of the greatest seasons of baseball that I've ever seen, been a part of. Obviously, it's a little different for me because I'm here now, and I went to, you know, to around two dozen games or more, you know, and followed them pretty much every day. So, caught up in being a fan, big fan, you know, and just a great series, great game, and obviously disappointing, but got in position where it was Game 7 of the World Series at home and doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, well, AJ's catching a lot of it, but anytime a team loses, it's the coach's or manager's fault, right?
Yeah, which is laughable. I mean, it's just not fair. I mean, what do you want them to do? I mean, had guys in position. You know, you got to get hits, and you got to get guys. You got to score runs. You know, it's no different. It's sports. You know, it's why he makes the big bucks. Why he's in the position that he's in. Obviously, I take heat all day, every day long as well. And that's just part of the job. But and you got to put him in position to be successful, which I feel like he did. You know, I feel like he put his guys in position to be successful, and then the guys got to make the plays. I talk about that all the time. Coaches got to make calls, which I thought he did a great job of making calls, and then the players got to make the plays. That's just kind of the way the world works. But when it's good and it's working, then, you know, everybody's happy. That's what you live for, and that's why you do what you do. And when it doesn't work, then you just got to kind of take it.
Yep. Dana Holgorsen here on ESPN 97.5. All right. SMU. I will say.
So here we go. Now I'm about to get it. You know. So go ahead and let it rip, man.
No. I listen. They're a really good team, but you guys got a pass that goes backwards. They pick it up. They score a touchdown. You guys. You got perfect plan before the half. You get two field goals. You're within eight. You get the ball back. We see the Patriots do this all the time. It's awesome. It worked out perfect. You go down and score again. Now, all of a sudden, the whole game is different. Instead, you fumble on your own one-yard line, and they go in. That's 14 points in a three-point game. They did the same thing at TCU. The TCU fumbled the ball in their own end, deep in their own end, what, three times? I don't want to say SMU isn't a really good team, but they're going with a little luck right now.
Well, you got to have luck to be undefeated in college football. It's just the way it is. And there's certain years where you know the ball bounces your way and you got to capitalize on it. Which that's what I give SMU credit for right now is they're capitalizing on other people's mistakes. They got really good quarterback play. Shane Buechele is although I thought he was average in our game, he just looked a little jittery, just wasn't kind of, you know, he didn't have one of his top receivers out there. He's just a little bit jittery and didn't have his best game, but did a great job of taking care of the ball and capitalizing on our mistakes. You know, we gave it to him three times and they scored two touchdowns. The two plays, and I thought there were some decisions on my part. Maybe I should have went for it when, you know, a couple of times, or I should have you know, shouldn't have kicked the field goal. Or all of these decisions where I thought were appropriate, you know, when I went back and I studied it and everything, it just basically comes down to two plays. It comes down to the two turnovers. And I've talked about turnovers a lot. You know, you can lose the turnover battle by two or three, and if it doesn't affect field position, then it really doesn't affect the game. Well, when you give it to them on the 1 yard line and the 10 yard line, it's damn sure going to affect the game. So those two plays were just so monumentally bad, it affected the outcome of the game. It was the same game, honestly, as it was last year for me towards the end of the year against Oklahoma. We had two monumentally bad plays where a quarterback fumbled and they picked it up and scored. So that was a 14-point swing there, and we lost by three. 14-point swing here, and we lost by three. So, you know, you got to get the breaks, and you got to capitalize on them. They did, and we didn't.
One other thing. I thought you should have left Greinke in. I would say, and then not brought in Harris and brought Cole in. If you could have done all those things, yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah. I want to ask you about something you were talking about is – You went and reassessed yourself and your decisions you made and studied it. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because in any decision making process, if you're not humble, if you don't have a level of humility at some point to openly and honestly assess what you're doing and admit mistakes if you make a mistake, or at least be open to admitting that, it makes it hard to win at a high level. Like you have to have some level of self-awareness. Talk about that as a coach, about how do you go back and second guess yourself? How do you go back and do that and take a look at things you've done and honestly assess yourself? How hard is that?
Yeah, you got to do it as a head coach. As far as, you know, what are the decisions on that you made, and then you got to do it as a play caller as well, both offensively, defensively, kicking game. I think the biggest thing is being upfront and honest with it when you make mistakes like that. You don't lose the team when you lose. You know, you gain respect when there's certain things that happen throughout the course of the game, and decisions were made and they were the wrong decisions. I will admit that in front of our team. You know, I think they appreciate that. I mean, you can't just sit there and say, well, the players didn't make the plays all the time. You can't sit there and do that. There's a certain level of you. Coaches got to make the calls, and players got to make the plays. And they go hand in hand, and they work hand in hand. And at the end of the day, you got to assess them. I rarely do a lot of that publicly. You got to assess, you know, what happened and be truthful about it. You know, there's certain things as a head coach that we pay attention to. Talk a lot about turnovers, but again, like I mentioned earlier, it's not just winning the turnover battle; it's how it affects field position, and it's how your team rallies and doesn't let them score touchdowns, or offensively when we get a turnover, which we focused on this and gotten better at this over the last couple of weeks. When you get those turnovers, what are you going to do with them? That's why we beat UConn. Had the mentality of taking a turnover and scoring with it, you know. And then right there before the half, we got that pick right before the half, and didn't have a whole lot of time. Had a play call where we were going to take a shot into the end zone, but then we had to Mayday field goal it because we were out of timeouts. But there's a lot of things, you know. And then there's the field goal thing, right? So the other two times, it was fourth down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were down 21-7 right before the half. You know, it was the field goal before the turnover that got the field goal, and it was fourth and two, and I contemplated going for it. I got over the ball, and I felt like I had a pretty good play call, and then they called timeout, and then I just kind of reassessed it and kicked the field goal just because I really wanted to kind of get some points on the board and not go into the half down two touchdowns. So, maybe I should have went for it at that point. You can second guess it all you want to. There's times where you do, times where you don't. But the amount of points, one of the other stats that I keep that we really pay attention to, and this is a huge deal in the NFL, is what's your red zone touchdown rate. You know, we did a good job defensively. They were in the red zone six times and only scored three touchdowns, and then we were in the red zone four times and scored three touchdowns. So I felt like we were pretty good, pretty close. I'm sorry, five times and scored three touchdowns. So we actually won that battle of red zone touchdown rate.
And you also had a 96-yarder. Dude, I knew he was fast. But holy crap, is Marquez Stevenson fast.
Yeah, his nickname's Speedy for a reason. You know, he's I tell you, he's an interesting guy. We knew he could open up like that. You know, he's still learning to play like that when he doesn't have the ball. You know, and that's the sign of a really good receiver, that when they can play like that and run like that when they don't have the ball, that's an NFL player. You know, right now we GPS him. He's got good explosion. He's got good player workload, and I think he hit 22.2 or something like that, which is a pretty high number from a speed perspective. But running routes full speed and playing like that all the time is what we're working towards. I think we're gaining from a receiver perspective. The last 2-3 weeks, we're gaining and we're getting a lot better at it. So we definitely are improving in that area.
Is he turning himself into an NFL player?
Yeah, he is. He obviously, when you see him open up like that, I mean, they're gonna take notice. So they're asking about. He's a redshirt junior, you know, so he's got another year. He'll be able to come back with the rest of these guys, I'm getting more and more excited about the off season. We got a huge one, you know, at Central Florida. And we got a bye week and 3 more games here, and I can't wait to coach these guys hard and try to win every game and continue to get better. But to have all these guys coming back, I mean, we lose our left tackle, and that's about it, you know. And then so we got everybody coming back. It's going to be fun in the offseason to really fine-tune what we're doing here.
Well, yeah, you got everybody coming back, and then you got a whole boatload of new guys that you got to be excited about. Your scout team appears to be we went through the list of the transfers that are sitting right now, and it appears to be a really, really nice haul that you guys got coming in.
Yeah, that's why you can't look at recruiting rankings when it comes to how we build our program, because they don't really factor in transfers at all. You know, they'll factor in if they know about them from a junior college perspective, then they'll kind of factor it in a little bit, but it doesn't carry nearly as much weight as just what the high school guys are rated. So, you know, I wouldn't really worry about it. Plus, there's about 7 different signing periods now. I mean, we're going to sign a bunch, you know, here mid-December, and then probably sign a few more the first Wednesday in February. But then we're going to sign some later in spring, and we're going to sign some in summer as well. So, you know, just the way we've built this, I mean, a lot of those guys that you're talking about, you know, defensively are all great players, and they're developing. They're giving us a great look. They're getting better each week. You know, we changed this last year on the 4-game redshirt rule, which we've talked a lot about. But we coach the guys that aren't playing as hard as we coach the guys that are playing. Now, you got a game plan and all that, but when you have opportunities to do individual drills with these guys and Thursday night football with these guys, then coach all those guys hard, because you know, one, you may play them, which we got 4 games left. We're going to play some freshmen here this week that haven't had any snaps yet, and that's just good for overall program development. So there's a lot to look forward to now. It sucks being 3-5, but there's a lot to look forward to.
Yep. Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. He's a Chastain guy. I'm in the Chastain family. Dana's in the Chastain family. You can be in the Chastain family. All you got to do is get there just 5 minutes from downtown, 2 exits east of 59 on 610. It's Homestead, not Hempstead. And you can pick up that Expedition, which is totally – you still got that Expedition, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the best car I've ever drove. I tell you, if you go out there, you know, Joe and Patrick and the guys, be prepared to stay a while, because they're wonderful people, and they're going to sit down and talk to you and get to know you. It really is a family now, and those guys do a great job. And once you're in the family, you're gonna go back a lot.
Absolutely. No, that's funny that you said that, because, yeah. And Patrick, I mean, we was there the whole time, and they, you know, they'll love to talk Cougs football. You're a Cougs fan. You're listening to this right here. If you want to go, they're big, big supporters of the University of Houston. You're looking for that Ford car truck, the number one Ford truck dealer in the city of Houston. It's Chastain Ford. Join the Chastain family. Like I said, it's on Homestead on 610, just 2 exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to the Dana Holgerson Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRNP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgerson.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The Dana Holgerson Show right here. All right, let's talk about this week. This ain't going to be easy, is it?
No. We put together, I'm going to sing the blues for a minute. We've played four ranked teams. The most I ever played at West Virginia was five. So you're talking about the American compared to Big 12 and not going to go into great detail with it. I mean, obviously, Big 12 is just a fantastic football league. But we played four ranked teams, and Central Florida is just right on the verge of being ranked. They're not, which they could be. They're 6-2 with a close loss at Pitt, with a close loss at Cincinnati, which are both pretty solid football teams in their own right. And then we got a bye week, and then we got Memphis coming to town, which game day's at Memphis this weekend. They're 8-1 or something like
ranked
that.
Ranked team.
Yeah, that's one. And then, we're at Tulsa, and then we got Navy coming, which at that point Navy might be ranked. I mean, they're, 7-1 now? Had a big win against Tulane last week. And so this is, I'm telling you, this is a it's a challenging schedule. It's just one of those years where it hits us, it seems like every week it's just like, man, that doesn't set up very good for us. But going to Orlando, I'm glad it's a noon game for us. That place is pretty rowdy. I've been there at noon before. I've been there at night before. It's a little different animal at night. They get that thing cranked up and rocking pretty good. Built that on-campus stadium. They got 75,000 students that go there. It's the biggest school in Florida, and so they get it rocking and rolling pretty good. They've been winning a lot here recently. So, I think Hype is Josh Heupel is their head coach. He took over for Scott Frost, which was 22-2 his last 2 years there. And then, last year they go 12-1, another 6-2. So that's a whole lot of wins. And they're doing it against, the same competition that we're doing it against. It's a good league, and they're kind of the ones right now that are, That got it going, that got it rocking and rolling.
Yeah. And they put a 63 on Temple. That's a little scary.
Yeah, and that was on the road. They've been spotty on the road, and been just out of sight at home. And then Temple, which Temple knocked off Memphis. They knocked off Maryland, which, I don't know how good Maryland is, but then they knocked off Memphis, which was a great win for them. Then they go to SMU, and we studied that one pretty closely. And they didn't look real good against SMU. SMU beat them by about 21 points, and then they turn around and they got UCF at home, and UCF was coming off a loss against Cincinnati, beat East Carolina, but then went up there and just whooped up on Temple. That was a pretty good road win. It was close in the middle of the third. I think it was like 28-21, and Temple turned it over, and then within like 3 minutes, it was like 45-21. So they jumped on him pretty quick. These guys got the ability to score incredibly, incredibly fast.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel's a pretty good quarterback, but they've been playing like this. You're absolutely right. What about an 11 o'clock game? Do you switch? How can you get ready for that with school and everything else?
Well, you can't do anything throughout the course of the week. Hopefully we learned a little bit when we were at UConn, so going to the East Coast, it won't be as long a flight as UConn. UConn was a 4-hour flight. This thing will be about 2 hours. But we'll get over there, around 5 o'clock Friday night, have our normal routine that we have on Friday, but just get up and get going. So we practiced it going to UConn, cause that was an 11 a.m. Eastern time kick as well, which I thought our mindset was good, but you know, I thought we did everything the right way from a scheduling perspective, getting them up, getting them going, had some energy there in the hotel in the morning. We played a little I felt like we were a little sleepy in the first half, and then we got their attention at halftime and went out there. But hopefully that experience will allow us to be able to play better here in the first half. We can't get behind on these guys too early. It'll be a long game. These guys can score really quick, and we gotta start fast, and we gotta hang in there for four quarters.
It's kind of, you start talking about the travel, and one of the issues with Cougars where they are right now from us, and this has been this way since they're out of the Southwest Conference, has been travel is just, it's something you have to deal with. You travel more than certainly they did in Southwest Conference days. But even with Big 12 teams who have relatively very reasonable travel schedules, you were one of the only outliers because of the late addition to the Big 12, where when you were at West Virginia, that was kind of the norm for you. Was taking trips that were not going to be just the quick 1 hour, hour and a half trips. You had to make the longer trips on a more regular basis. And I say longer, it's relative.
Yeah, that's true. But here's how I view that. And I dealt with that for a long time. And you're right, the Houston faithful, the alumni, the students, whatever you want to call families and all that, they got to deal with it a little bit. But it's just realities of college football, honestly. You know, those days are kind of over where for a lot of most teams, those days are kind of over where the travel is just so easy. You can make every game and all that. It's just not reality. But you're going to get 7-8 home games, you know, and then we got some reasonable distance games when it comes to, you know, New Orleans or Memphis or Dallas or Tulsa. I mean, there's some that you can get to, but you just got to really take advantage of the home games. And then these television broadcasts are so fantastic now. I mean, that's just where all the money is. But it's not like you can't see them. You got to listen to it on the radio or something. I mean, you can actually just really be engaged with it and watch it. I was looking through our schedule for next year. So we go to Pullman. So that's you know, Pullman, Washington. That's quite a ways away. We go to Provo, Utah, to play BYU. So those are pretty two tough non-conference road games that I'm not too excited about. We got to go to Annapolis, Maryland, to play Navy. That's never easy and all that. We got to go to Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, so it's just something that's going to happen, you know, for American teams and for the University of Houston. But we got to take advantage of our home games. There's plenty of those, and then some of the local ones in the conference as well.
Absolutely. Dana Holgorsen right here at the UCF 11 o'clock kick on Saturday. All right. We appreciate you, man. Best of luck. Go have some fun over there in Orlando.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
right,
guys.
There's Dana Holgorsen right here every week.
Thanks, guys.
Brought to you by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRNP. All right, I want to talk right now. I literally ordered yesterday, my three bottles of wine because we love the Pinot Noir from Cameron Hughes so much, and it is ridiculous how low it is. So it's got to be a 60, 60, $70 bottle of wine. I don't know what it is, but it's as good a Pinot as you're going to find, and it's from Oregon. That's where we like a lot of our wines. I ordered three bottles, $20 a piece, but I put in promo code BENCH, and I got $12 off. So for $48, got three bottles of wine, free shipping, 20% off, all at Cameron Hughes. Now, they've got the fires and everything going on in Northern California, so it's going to be a little bit tougher to get it right now. So as soon as they're back, they're going to be shipping all of those wines out. So you might have to wait a little bit longer than usual. It's usually, I got mine right away, and as soon as they get back into the warehouse, we're going to get them right away. You're looking for wine. It's unbelievable. It's literally pennies on the dollar what you're going to be spending for these wine. Go to chwine.com, put in promo code BENCH, and see the wonderful wines from throughout the world at Cameron Hughes. chwine.com, promo code BENCH.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.